Some years ago, I was chatting to a friend of mine who's a physiotherapist, and I did that really annoying thing that everyone does when they talk to a physiotherapist, and I said, "I've got this problem with my knee. Any chance you could give me some free advice?" And anyway, he asked a few questions, and there's this pain that always came when I was running or hiking. And so he said, "Look, lie on the floor, grab my leg, started playing around, see what the movement was like." And very confidently he said, "The problem's actually with your back." I'm like, no. My back's fine. Never had a problem with my back. It's my knee. I know this. It's my body. I know where the pain is. Problems with my knee. Now, thankfully, he had absolutely no bedside manner at all and just said, "Roll over. Do what I tell you." And he said, "Now, when I press here, it's going to hurt." And he was correct as I let out this pitiful little yelp. And he basically said, "Look, there's a muscle twisted in your back and it's referring pain to your knee. So your knee's actually perfectly fine. It's purely just being transferred from one part of your body to the other." So he did like 2 seconds massaging this muscle and it was healed, done. And I kind of felt quite humbled having believed that I knew exactly what the problem was, but it was wrong. Now, the reason for saying this is because we find ourselves in a very strange predicament that we think we know what the problem with the world is, but actually we're completely and utterly wrong. As human beings, we experience this deep, deep pain. Even when we're celebrating the great joy of life, there's almost something holding us back from really encountering the joy, because there's just this deep echo of a pain somewhere within us. And all of humanity thinks that we know what the answer actually is. You know, we look around the world, we see, you know, there's terrorism, there's wars, there's depression, there's suicide, there's drug abuse, there's marriage breakdown. We could go on and on. And we all kind of think, look, if only we were more loving. If only we were a bit nicer to each other. If only we could sort of pass on a few good works here and there, the world would be a better place. And I think for us as Catholics, we find ourselves in a strange place where we are utterly useless in the face of what we think is the problem. In fact, I would dare say that Jesus is utterly useless in the face of what we think is the problem. Because he does nothing. He comes into a world filled with pain and hurt to the chosen people who are oppressed under, you know, a political invaders, and he does nothing except tell us to go and worship God and pray more. I think we have every right to look at the situation and get a little bit annoyed. And I have full understanding when people in our world look at the church and say, "Shut up. You're here telling us we need to pray more and worship and come into Mass with all this ritual mumbo jumbo. We should be out there doing stuff, trying to bring peace and goodwill to people." What I want to suggest is that this is a little bit like me desperately trying to convince my physio friend that I knew what the problem was, and that he was completely mad when he was telling me to roll over so that he could massage my back. Because the world is looking for knee surgery, and we as a church are offering back massages. And then we wonder why they're so frustrated, and why they think that we're completely irrelevant and we should just butt out. But I think if we're going to understand this mystery that we're entering into here as we draw close to Holy Week, the mystery of the death and resurrection, we've got to understand what's actually going on here. Why was Jesus not trying to fix our human problems? But rather, why was he trying to focus on worshipping God? The second reading here from the letter to the Hebrews. During his earthly life, Christ offered up prayer and entreaty aloud and in silent tears to the one who had the power to save him out of death. And he submitted so humbly that his prayer was heard. Christ is like the, well, we call him the divine physician, not quite the divine physiotherapist. But he knows what the real issue is. He knows what actually is the source of the problem in the human heart. While we are just worried about the symptoms, we are complaining about the pain we feel, and yet we are blind to the true source of it. That actually the source of all of this comes down to the battle of our self-will, the battle of our pride. That's always been the case ever since we left the Garden of Eden. That deep cry from the human heart, I will not serve, I will not worship. It seems trivial. In the face of the great trials of, and torment of our world, that seems so trivial. So much so that the neo-atheists have great delight talking about how God is so egotistical, desiring worship at every turn. And yet the core of the problem is that refusal to worship. Everything comes from that source. In a sense, that's the twisted muscle from which all the pain derives. That's the muscle that Christ came in to heal. Just think of your life for a moment. Think of the relationship breakdowns, the problems we have. It's because there is this battle within me. I desperately want to receive love, and yet at the same time, I desperately want to remain autonomous and not dependent on anybody. I desperately want to receive from other people, and yet I don't want to receive anything. There is this madness within this mix of desires within me. And from there drives all the conflict, the relationship breakdowns, the hatred, the jealousy, the strife. It's because within us, we're just completely disordered in where our hearts are actually directed. And so God's great rescue plan is completely unexpected. He doesn't come to heal all the diseases, although he does heal a lot of people along the way. He doesn't come to overthrow oppressors. He doesn't come to transform poverty. He comes to offer pure worship to the Father. Now, this is a little bit hard to understand. Because we say that Jesus is God and the Father is God, so why is God worshiping God? I'll try and save you all the complex Trinitarian theology, and let's just pretend that we understand it. That because God is love, God is pure, absolute communion. Love that has to be given. That within this God who is three in one, Christ has to offer absolute perfect praise to the Father in pure love, pure gratitude. The very model of what love is meant to be. We simply cannot love. No matter how much we try, our love is tainted at every turn. It's tainted by pride, it's tainted by vanity, it's tainted by lust, it's tainted by selfishness, manipulation. Because sin has broken us so deeply. No matter how much we try to worship God, we simply fail. And so Christ comes in and he says, I will do it for you. And his worship is not simply singing some nice song. It's not simply saying the right prayer. His worship is the perfect act of obedience, where the whole of humanity has been rebelling against God because I will never renounce my own will. Christ does. And he submits himself perfectly, absolutely, to the point of death. Even when it makes no sense, even when he probably didn't even understand what was going to happen, he goes into that chaos and he says, Father, I trust, I submit. Not my will, but your will be done. And there, in that action, lies the perfect act of worship. Offering not just empty words, as we all do, but offering his whole life in submission. Now, the mystery is that somehow that is the remedy for our pain. Now, you all hear that, and my guess is that you have exactly the same reaction that I had to my friend when he told me I had a back problem. That you hear that and you say, yes, it's nice words, but the pain's in my knee. This is the mystery we need to enter into as we draw close to Easter. For us to understand just how deep is the rebellion within, and just how much that rebellion is the source of all of our pain. But to realize that it's been done for us. And this is the beauty of the mystery, that this is not Christ saying, see what I've done, now you go and try really hard and do yourself. But rather he says, I have done it. You just have to join in. You just now have to join in this great song of worship, and you'll find that healing will flow into your life. And to realize that we stand here before the mystery, we actually become part of the mystery here in the Eucharist. Because what is the Eucharist? The Eucharist is somehow, through the grace of God, the making present of the death and resurrection of Christ. What Christ did on Calvary, we actually become present to it here, as though we were actually standing at the foot of the cross. Once again, complex theology, I'll say that for another homily. But this is what is happening here. We are actually being drawn into communion with the offering of Christ, his pure sacrifice, his pure worship to the Father. And he calls us and he says, will you trust me as I trust the Father? Will you come and enter into communion with me in my sacrifice? He only asks us to take this small step, which we symbolically make as we walk down the aisle to be united with him. But he basically says, if you can recognize the sacrifice that's being made here, if you can recognize what I'm doing on your behalf, dying so that you may live, there you will find the strength, the grace to allow the same thing to happen in your own life. You know, as we hear here in the gospel, you know, anyone who loves his life loses it, and anyone who hates his life in this world will keep it for the eternal life. Complex, difficult language. But if we understand this as being really about the battle of our self-will, that if we go the way of the world, if we try and desperately cling to our self-will and fight for autonomy, as Adam and Eve did, as everyone else down through history has done, we will lose. And we'll find ourselves deep, deep in pain, experiencing a living hell. But if we are prepared to give away our life, give away our self-will, unite ourselves into this sacrifice of Christ, there we find healing. There we find the transformation that we're really crying out for. Now, as I said, I don't expect you to understand this. I don't expect you to even agree with it. Because that feeling of pain is so deep within us, I think we've resigned ourselves to simply medicating it and trying to numb it at every turn. And what God calls us to here can seem like such madness. Because he's saying to us, forget about it. For just a moment, forget about the pain. Forget about yourself. And join me in praise of the Father. Join me in worship. Join me in turning your sights back up to heaven and thanking him and glorifying him and surrendering all that you are to him. And in that movement, changing our focus from ourselves towards true love, there we find ourselves open to healing. There we find ourselves open to receiving. There we find our souls suddenly becoming directed back to their true destination. This is what the cross is about. This is where the cross calls us to. It directs us back towards heaven. So as we come into the Eucharist and as we gaze upon the cross, allow something of this madness to sink in. We've spent so many years trying to heal this pain in so many ways, and my guess is none of it has worked. Perhaps for this moment, we should allow Christ to call us to do something different. That as we go in this last journey of this next week and a half before we enter into the Easter Triduum, let's become aware of how deep is our pride, how deep is our self-will, and be able to speak those same words as Christ spoke. Not my will, but your will be done.